Morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the BC Members Call on February 25th, 2016. On the call today, we have Jay Chapman, Kevin Audrit, Jimson Olufier, Cheryl Miller, Andrew Harris, Marilyn Cade, Andy Abrams, Lawrence Awale-Roberts, Gabriella Slack, Jeffrey Noakes, Chris Wilson, Alex Deacon, Steve DelBianco, Philip Corwin, and Aparna Siddhar. We have apologies from Marie Petullo, Barbara Warner, Laura Covington, and Susan Kawaguchi. From staff, we have myself, Chantel Dirksen. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you ever so much, and over to you, Chris.
Thank you, Chantel. I appreciate that. And thank you, everyone, for being on the call. Sorry I could not make our last call a couple of weeks ago. I was unfortunately under the weather, but I'm glad to be back here with you all today. Real quick, housekeeping. Chantel, I see that Steve and Phil were having trouble getting on. Are they on the call now?
Hi, Chris. This is Chantel. I see Philip on, and I'm going to let the operator know to have a dial-up to Gabby.
And Steve, is Steve connected now? I think he, too, is trying to get through the operator.
Steve is not connected yet. I see Denise Michelle joining.
Hello.
Hello.
Let's make sure everyone's connected to the phone, and then we can kick it off. I know we've got a full plate. A lot has occurred in the last week or so. Certainly, the last 2 weeks since we last met. And of course, we've got the important Marrakesh meeting coming up at the end of next week. So I know we've got a lot to discuss. Steve, are you available now to talk about the policy calendar? Is he on? Steve, can you hear us?
I do now. Thank you.
Okay, great. Steve, why don't you go ahead and kick it off on the policy calendar. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Chris. Chantel, if you don't mind, could you put the policy calendar PDF up?
Hi, Steve. Sure.
Thank you. All right, I emailed this out last night. I hope all of you had a chance to take a quick look at it. At the very top of here, we have four recently filed comments. I covered all of these on the BC members call we had 2 weeks ago, and there was only one intervening comment period, and that was the one on RDAP and Thick Who Is, and that was extended into March. So I won't review the recently filed other than to thank the people I've named there for participating. On the current list of ICANN public comments, the first two are these coupled comments on the Who Is replacement or registration data access protocol operational profile and Thick Who Is deployment to registries that don't have Thick Who Is, that is to say legacy GTLDs. And that's a long-term project, and the current Thick Who Is consensus policy that's being commented on doesn't even anticipate the big ones, .NET and .com, until well after the first phase are brought in. And at the same time, we have a PDP underway on the next generation for registration directory services. And in that group, we have Beth Allegretti from Fox, Jeff Noakes from Symantec, and then Susan Kawaguchi, who may well be an officer in leadership on that working group. So when we put together all of these moving parts, we are trying to file a single combined comment, and it was the first attachment on the policy calendar. We had great initial work by Barbara Warner and Cheryl Miller, and then we had edits from Andy and Aparna at Google and from Susan Kawaguchi, and we've circulated those a few times. Of course, on the 15th of February, I circulated what I thought was fine to do on the 15th. And so we bought ourselves an extra couple of weeks, but let's not waste that time. To the extent we now know more about how these Who Is projects are linked, I think we should try to incorporate that into our comment. We have the time to get it right. taxes. It's not due, though. The couple is not due till the 18th of March. So I would ask quickly if there were anybody that, other than our counselors, of course, our counselors should pitch in. What did we learn from staff's presentation last week on all the moving parts on who is? And Susan, Phil, or anyone else who listened to that council presentation by staff, could you pipe in on that? We don't have Susan.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Steve. Could you repeat the question?
Phil, last Thursday at council, I think staff gave a briefing on all the moving parts on who is, and it should inform the comments we make on the combined RDAP and thick who is. Did you learn anything more about the timing and how these things are being combined?
I didn't learn anything new, but frankly, Steve, that's an issue on which I've generally deferred to Susan because she's been so involved with it in so much detail for so long.
Got it. Susan had already edited the comments that we have prepared, but in case she's learned something new last week, I'm going to follow up with Susan. She's on vacation this week. Are there any other BC members who listened in to the council call or have other comments on this combined who is comment? Okay, seeing no hands, this one is in the queue. It is ready for me to hit send, but let's be sure to take a hard look at it. This is a very important one, and it's not due until the 18th of March. Let me turn to number three. It's the privacy and proxy accreditation services. And this is a PDP recommendation, which is now going to the Board of Directors for approval. The comments close on the 16th of March, which is right after Marrakesh. We last commented on this in July. Ellen did the drafting, and Susan volunteered to help Ellen to draft on this one. And again, this is a last-minute item, Ellen, because the board has already received the PDP recommendations, and usually the board will rubber stamp any recommendations. But it's a great opportunity for us to highlight implementation details that we want the board to and staff to pay attention to, because implementation is usually not covered sufficiently in the PDP recommendations, right? So we aren't going to undo substantive policy recommendations, given that they've already made their way through the PDP and council, right? I know we didn't get everything we wanted, but this is the time to put one more stitch in on implementation details. So, Ellen, would you and Susan, she volunteered last week, would you and Susan be able to take a look at that final set of recommendations, and we can compare them to our prior comments in July, the ones you helped to draft, and I linked to them in the comments. And then all we want to do is to try to turn it into implementation request from the BC.
Okay, yeah. I'll take a crack at doing that and maybe send some thoughts about what those implementation topics would be.
Perfect, Ellen. And it can be a real rough email. Ellen, will you be with us in Marrakesh?
I will not. I'll be drafting back at my desk.
Oh, gosh. Well, that's too bad because I'll bet you would enjoy Marrakesh as well. It's a beautiful place. Well, thank
you
for that.
As I would enjoy drafting these comments, however.
All right. Well, get us, if you can, your initial thoughts prior to Tuesday when the BC meets. It'd be great for us to have the opportunity to discuss that. And if you can join us by phone for the BC meeting on Tuesday, please do.
Okay.
Anyone else want to chime in and help? This is on privacy and proxy services for privacy, and the fact that ICANN has agreed on our insistence that privacy and proxy providers be accredited by ICANN, the same way that registrars are accredited. And in this way, have compliance become a responsibility of ICANN instead of them being able to claim they don't have any responsibility on privacy and proxy. Any other volunteers to help Ellen and Susan? Okay, seeing none, we go to the next one. Number four, ICANN has just published a draft framework of principles for how to initiate and operate and conclude cross-community working groups. We always abbreviate that as a CCWG. And we're seeing more and more cross-community working groups. And those are working groups that differ from, a GNSO PDP in the fact that they involve more than just the GNSO. So whenever the GNSO and CCNSO work together on something, or the transition for ICANN accountability, which involved six different chartering organizations, those are cross-community working groups. In many respects, these review teams required by the affirmation are cross-community groups, but they're not formally CCWGs. They're really something of a different animal. So those comments are not due until the 2nd of April. We'll have plenty of time to discuss them. Mostly right now, I'd look for volunteers with experience on these cross-community working groups who could help to shed some light on a process issue. Again, this is not a substantive comment. It's about the process of kicking off and forming and running a CCWG. Folks on this group who are experienced on that, Denise, you experienced it, I guess, from the staff side. Angie, let's see, who else has been part of one? Marilyn, you've been part of a lot of cross-community working groups. Any chance you could spend a little time reviewing the recommendations to see if staff is on the right track? All right, we'll have to review getting volunteers when we meet in Marrakesh. Number five, only two more here. Number five is that our brethren over at the registry stakeholder group, they've come up with a new charter. And just like will be the case when the BC amends our charter, we'll have to put it out for public comments. Now, their draft charter was approved in November, and I guess I personally had expectations that there would be more explicit recognition of single registrant GTLDs, also known as dot brands, and how that would affect either subdivisions of the registry constituency or how it would affect the voting that they do. Well, it has, but not in the way I expected. They've adjusted their weighted voting into tiers based on the number of registrations and fees paid to ICANN, you know, making it real that he who pays the piper calls the tune here. So they've got a new draft, and there's no mention of dot brands or single registrant GTLDs. So to the extent that the BC members have an interest in understanding the distinction between the way registries that are open and generic would run versus those that are closed, this would be an opportunity to observe and perhaps even comment on what the registries are putting into their charter. I look to the queue right now. Does anyone on here have a comment on that or have a level of interest enough to dive in? It's not a very long document, and they didn't make significant changes other than the areas I'm speaking to. There was one other change that they're going to allow associations to join the registry constituency, and they created some special rules for how they get their weighted voting and what their fees are. Bill Corwin, you put the word any draft in clarification. I'm not sure I understand that.
Oh, Steve, I put a comment above that I would on the privacy proxy comment. I was part of that working group, and I'll be happy to review the draft that Ellen and Susan turned out initially and give some input there. That's all.
Oh, that's awesome. Phil, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Phil, thank you. Okay, any interest from BC members who have concerns on the registry side with their new charter? Marilyn, go ahead. You have a question? Marilyn, we can't hear you. Marilyn, since we can't hear you, why don't you just type it into the chat and I'll read it out, okay? Okay, the sixth one on here was final recommendations on geographical regions review. And this is more process and structure at ICANN. It's not a policy topic. It's a process and structure issue. And they've recommended, no surprise here, that ICANN should increase its geographic diversity efforts. The comments close at the end of April. On the last call we did 2 weeks ago, Andrew, Jimson, and Cheryl Miller all suggested they'd volunteer on that. And then Susan Kawaguchi added the suggestion that, while it's not technically geographic diversity, that we should throw into this mix a demand that ICANN add gender diversity along with its initiatives to looking into geographical diversity. So it's too early for me to be bothering you for a draft since it's not due for well over a month, but I would like you to start thinking about working that team together. And this is Andy, Jimson, Cheryl Miller, and Susan. Okay, Marilyn asks in the chat, is there any indication of the brands that have not commented, or perhaps they have. And the answer, Marilyn, is there weren't any comments posted, and the brands were part of the registry constituency that approved their draft charter. So unless there are BC members who happen also to run .brands and can share some intel here, I don't know the answer to that. Anyone from Fox, Google, Amazon, shed any light on that? Andy Abrams putting something in
the
chat. I'll wait.
So Steve, this is Chris. I can talk. Cecilia's not on today's call, but I can certainly reach out to her and see to what extent we've engaged in that regard for Fox.
And Andy's pretty much saying the same thing, Chris. Thank you. So Marilyn's right. If those of us that were within companies, and the NetChoice members included, we should reach out, because if there are certain things that the brands felt they wanted but didn't get or got outvoted, and if they make sense from the BC's perspective, key point, Marilyn, if those things that you wanted make sense to a BC's perspective, the BC is more than happy to raise them as a comment on the charter. It's a great opportunity to achieve some synergies. So, Chris, I'll look to you at Fox, Andy and Aparna, if you can, Andrew Harris or Amazon. I mean, you're three of the very, very largest bidders for dot brands, and it would be great to understand how we want to pursue that. Or even those of you who would want to do a dot brand in the future. Right? Looking to you, Steve Coates, and others on the call. Great. Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate that. Okay, that's it for the current queue of comments. I don't have to press anybody to get something into me in the next 24 hours because we're sort of in the run-up to Marrakesh. I mean, things usually get quiet on the public comment filing right before then. The next channel in the policy calendar is Council. You'll note that I have dropped the discussion of our reconsideration request on URS. We went over that many, many times, and on the last call we discussed in detail that our reconsideration request was denied. So the previous council meeting was February 18th. That was last week, and I've attached a link to their agenda, the resolutions, and the transcript. There's going to be a special council meeting Monday, the 29th of Feb, and I think it's dedicated exclusively to the final CCWG proposal, which I can cover a little bit later. And then in Marrakesh, the council will meet all weekend and is just putting agendas together for that and for the meeting on Wednesday, March the 9th. So I would turn to Phil to see if there's anything else you want to add about council. And then after Cheryl covers the CSG, I could do a deep dive on the cross-community working group for accountability. Phil?
Yeah, thanks, Steve. And I assume you can hear me okay. The major thing we did on the last council meeting, we passed the motion to establish the working group on the review of all rights protection mechanisms and all generic top-level domains. What's left to do in Marrakesh on that is the charter. And as BC members who bothered to read the email I sent yesterday are aware, the council established a subgroup. What we're dealing with is the BC position on how that working group should proceed was that it should address the new TLD RPMs first, and that's a project that's going to take a year, year and a half, let's be realistic, and assess their effectiveness, decide if they should be changed in any way, and then to proceed after that on the much more substantial task of reviewing the UDRP, which has never been reviewed, and it's almost 20 years of operation, and that's a much more daunting task to get your arms around, and it's going to take longer. The BC position, when we commented on the preliminary issue report on all of this back last fall, was that, and this was a decision we made during our meeting in Dublin, was that our position was that the PDP should proceed in two parts, with the new TLD RPMs going first and the UDRP second. And that is the position that got the strongest support in the public comments. Now, the NCSG was the only commenting entity to say, no, you should start with the UDRP and then go on to new RPMs. I don't believe that makes any sense. For one thing, this working group is going to coordinate with the one that's working on issues for subsequent rounds of new TLDs. which is dealing with all the other new TLD issues other than RPMs. And, you know, they're going to be, you know, to take the NCSG approach would delay this working group's part of that second round for years. So it makes no sense. But NCSG requested and council set up a subgroup to discuss how to handle this. The subgroup had one, Susan and I are both on that subgroup. We had one call Monday. We have a second call this afternoon at 4 p.m. Amar from the NCSG prepared some draft language, which Mary Wong circulated late yesterday, and I circulated to the BC. It's not the best drafted language, but essentially it would throw to the PDP working group the decision on how to prioritize their work. It basically, the way it's written, it seems to say that they should go with RPMs first unless they decide to go with UDRP first, but it guarantees that rather than proceeding to get to work, the first thing they'd have to do is debate their prioritization. And I'm fine with presenting a cleaned-up version of that language for council consideration in Marrakesh, but my position, which I believe is the BC position, unless instructed otherwise, would be to vote no on adding that to the charter, because I think it's, one, starting with the UDRP makes no sense for multiple reasons, and two, I think it's abrogating the council's responsibility to set priorities in accord with the public comments, and it's setting it would be setting the working group up to start its work with what could be a divisive debate on how to proceed. So that's the situation on that. So far as the special meeting Monday, that meeting is to begin council discussion of the final CCWG accountability proposal, which was just finalized on Wednesday because of the delay that took place. And Steve, you know, we were both on that 1 a.m. call the other night that finished that up. We're not going to take, we've already agreed we'll take no votes on the Monday call. It's simply to familiarize ourselves with the final form of all the 12 recommendations. I believe we're inviting quite a number of people involved with the working group to interact with us at that meeting. And then we're going to reshuffle the Saturday schedule, at least in Marrakesh, to devote a significant part of it to really starting to decide positions on those recommendations, because we have to finish up our work and take votes on each of the 12 recommendations no later than Wednesday, March 9th. So that's basically the situation in council right now.
Bill, thanks very much. And, of course, I'll be on that Monday call to help to field questions from council on the understanding there wouldn't be a vote. The only other item I had is, of course,
Steve, could I just ask on the phone or in the chat room, if anyone has further comments on that RPM-PDP working group charter, because there's a 4 o'clock call today, and I believe I'll be acting, you know, in the consistent with the BC's position. I just stated how I intend to proceed, but if anyone has comments on that, I'd appreciate feedback before 4 p.m.
Hey, Phil, it's Steve. You're right about reflecting the BC's priority that the other RPMs prior to UDRP. You're solid on those grounds. And the BC has a really principled position on wanting to be sure that that RPM contractors are all contracted properly from ICANN and certified. Denise, I believe, replied earlier to your query about the order of this and changing the charter. And I think you replied already to Denise on list. So any other members? Chris Wilson is agreeing. Gabby is asking, do we know other groups within the working group would vote if a charter amendment came up, Phil?
Yeah, you know, my sense, I'm not 100% sure, but my sense is that the NCSG is quite isolated in its position.
Yeah, well, that doesn't bother them, right? They're quite isolated but quite vocal on a lot of things, and they clash more with the CSG than with the contract parties. It's really
well, and as you know, Steve, the bigger problem is that there is no NCSG position. There are the positions of the six, the individual positions of the six separate representatives of the NCSGN Council, each of whom is free to vote their own conscience without binding guidance from those they represent. So it's hard to work a deal when you're dealing with people who, you know, really speak only for themselves in the end.
And they tend to take a lot of influence from the policy committee of the NCSG. And if you go to the NCSG's website, you'll see who the policy committee members are. And, Phil, I share your frustration on this cross-community working group for accountability. The NCSG member is Robin Gross, but she's not one of the counselors. And the six counselors of NCSG are the ones who, well, could potentially hold the fate of the CCWG proposal when council goes to approve some of the key recommendations in Marrakesh. And of the six NCSG counselors, only one is actually even paying attention to the CCWG, and that's Ed Morris.
Yeah, and you know, I have a good relationship with Ed and respect his views, but Ed is very unhappy with how things came out on the GAC issue, and I'm not sure where the council is going to come out, particularly on Recommendation 11, if all six NCSG's reps wind up opposing it. The controlling vote is going to be the one of the NOMCOM appointee.
That's right, Phil. And Yulf Helsinkius is the NOMCOM appointee, and we had talks with him at the intersessional, but most people view him as being more philosophically aligned with the non-commercial group. I mean, the frustration of the non-commercial group is that they have a long memory. This whole UDRP issue that you brought up, doing the UDRP first, is something they've wanted for over a decade and complained about. And those who've wanted it came out of the woodwork in the last 3 weeks to insist on a charter change. You and I talked with Kathy Kleiman at January the 25th, if you recall. And that's where that came from. Well, when I turn to the accountability, we have the same issue, that for over a year, a few of the NCSG members felt that we could put together an empowered community to hold ICANN accountable, and it would be all ACNSOs, oh, but except the GAC. A patently irrational view is that governments aren't stakeholders of any stature, zero stature. They don't represent internet registrants and users or even citizens. And CCWG roundly rejected that over a year ago and said, if we put together an empowered community, whether it's designated or member, that governments as an ACNSO, just like every other NACNSO, they have a role. And the BC has supported that. But alone amongst the group, the NCSG felt we could just say no, and the government should be excluded from that. I think the consequences would be disastrous at places like the United Nations and ITU, but nonetheless, they've persisted on that. So despite the fact that the latest final draft significantly trims the ability of governments to influence decisions in the community, they can't block, they can't be the deciding factor at all, they can't even vote if we're deciding whether to bring an IRP challenge to the board's implementation of GAC advice. That's what's known as the carve-out. These were all designed to address concerns raised by the NCSG and a few others. And despite addressing those concerns, the NCSG continues to say government shouldn't be allowed to participate in the empowered community. That's how difficult it is to negotiate with the NCSG, because you address their concerns incrementally, and there's no appreciation for that because they're still worried about a battle they fundamentally lost over a year ago, and they want to relitigate that battle. And, I mean, I can say it on this call because it's just the BC, but it'll have to be much more gentle when we have that conversation in front of the whole council next Monday. So I guess I've jumped the gun a bit into the CCWG topic because I spend so damn much of my time on it. But we did come up with an approved report, then it's gone out to all the chartering organizations. I give you a brief summary. The BC has gotten most of the things we asked for. We now have a requirement that rationale come with GAC advice. We require the GAC to forever use the current strong consensus method of the absence of any objections for any advice they give to ICANN that would invite the special obligation of trying to find a mutual solution. The BC supported a two-thirds board vote to reject that advice, but we cut that to just 60%. So now it's just one extra vote over a majority for the board to reject GAC advice. That was a concession to the GAC. And we've given ourselves the ability to challenge the board's implementation of GAC advice in an IRP. And if we're not happy with that, we can still spill the board one at a time or all together, provided that we have no more than one AC and SO objecting. So I'm happy to take questions from BC members. I've been trying to keep you informed along the way, but I'm happy to take questions on the CCWG final proposal, and then we'll have to turn it over to Cheryl to talk about the CSG board topic agenda that will be coming up in Marrakesh. See Denise in the queue. Go ahead, Denise.
Thanks, and thanks for all your incredible work on this. It's great to see that it looks like we're moving to closure. Could you, and I apologize if I missed this, but could you sort of talk specifically about what has to happen in Marrakesh in order for, I guess, the community role in, you know, track one, the first phase, comes to closure?
All right, Denise, each of the six chartering organizations for the cross-community working group will have the opportunity to indicate support or opposition to each of the 12 recommendations. And if they were to indicate opposition, they would have to explain why. This whole last month has been spent addressing concerns that were raised when the chartering organizations were asked at the end of November on that last draft, on the third draft. So what we've tried to do in this final supplemental was to reconcile all those differences. And we did, right? But these things have a way of coming unglued sometimes if people want to relitigate something they wanted and didn't get.
Sure.
And they have leverage, and they have the leverage of saying that if we don't change the report, we're not going to support it. Now, changing the report right now would mean going back to all six chartering orgs and the board, by the way, going through another round of a couple of weeks' worth of revision. And that really tests the patience of a lot of people, and I think there's a lot of resistance to reopening it right now. So we are probably going to see up and down votes on all 12 recommendations from all six chartering organizations. The GAC will neither support nor oppose, since they can't do a resolution unless it's in the absence of any objection. The GAC is not at all happy about being locked into strong consensus advice, but I don't think they'll be able to object. I really believe the only potential problem would be in council, as Phil described.
Yeah.
The six NCSG counselors, if they all vote against, say, two of the recommendations, mainly focusing on beating up on the GAC, then we have got to get the NOMCOM voting rep and the rest of the CSG to support the recommendations, or it'll fail in council. If it fails in council, is that fatal? It's near fatal. It's near fatal if it fails in GNSO, because GNSO is most of what this accountability is about. It's about the GPLD space.
Right. So I have just a follow-up question. Do we...
One quick on this. The board has assured us they have no further concerns, because, again, the easy way that I described and that Phil talked about, that was to give what I felt was a relatively meaningless concession to get the board to promise to support, stamp this if the chartering orgs approve it, and the board is not going to bring up any more crap if we don't change the report. Go ahead, Denise.
Thanks. So is it common for the BC or CSG to reach out to the NOMCOM reps in advance of the council meetings and discussions to explain the rationale and ask for their support for our position? That's, I think, one question. And a second question, and I'll go on mute, is will we be discussing track two in Marrakesh and how to collaborate on moving forward with that effort? And I guess a sub question there is, do you feel we have an appropriately strong commitment from the board to act on elements that come out of future track two work? Thanks.
Yeah, on the first question, I'm not sure how traditionally we've worked with the NOMCOM rep. It's really been a personality match, but it's appropriate. and in this case, it's certainly called for. Bill, I would defer to you to your take on what Ulf Helsingius is like in council and whether we can work with him.
Yeah, Steve, I think he's fairly new to council, isn't he? Isn't he someone who just came in October?
That's right. He's European. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, you know, I've only observed him in one physical meeting, which is in Dublin. Seems like a nice guy, not very high profile. I don't, in the time I've been on council, I don't know of any coordinated outreach by the BC or the CSG collectively to the NCSG. We've been, one of the purposes of the meeting in LA was to try to establish you know, better lines of communication. So the kind of debacle we had over the, you know, the chair vote in Dublin would not recur. But I think, you know, let's see how that call goes on Monday. Then I think, you know, we can think about either BC outreach or CSG outreach to him. It appears that we've facing a united NCSG block on anything and where he's going to be the swing vote.
All right, so in preparation for that, though, Phil, I will reach out since I met him at the Intercessional.
Sure.
And invite, if he'd like to have any discussions and to ask questions, I'd be happy to take them between now and Monday. And I'll send that note to him and try to be a resource, which is the same thing I tried to do in at the Los Angeles Intercessional. All right, another question from Denise was Workstream 2. And Denise, I would believe that in Marrakesh, if it looked like we were solid and approving the final report, then there'd be plenty of time and attention turned to Workstream 2, like the human rights framework of interpretation, accountability of the SOs and ACs, and it would begin to form, I guess, the core of how deep is the board's commitment to executing. They'll be able to give lip service to that. We'll never really know about the board's commitment level until we confront them with challenging language and bylaws changes, and then suddenly Jones Day and the legal department become resistant. And they've done it to us how many times, Phil? 6 or 7 times in the last 6 months. And at the last minute, a note will come over under a board member's email address, but it's clear that legal worked on it and legal has to end up defending it. Now, look, we have not backed down in all cases on human rights for Workstream 2. That we got a commitment from the board they didn't want to make. But I don't think we'll know the level of commitment from the board until we confront them with difficult accountability measures. And that won't happen in Marrakesh, right? That will happen after Workstream 2 has done its work over the next several months. Are there any other questions? I don't see any other hands. And so I will turn it over to Cheryl Miller. This is under Channel 3 for CSG. And Cheryl, among other things I put into the policy calendar, was a notation about trying to come up with topics for the CSG meeting with the Board of Directors. And in there, I noted an item that Denise Michelle first raised on our call 2 weeks ago and then followed up with some details over the email list in the past 2 weeks. Over to you, Cheryl.
Great. Thank you so much, Steve. And I also saw there was a little bit of a conversation within the chat as well with respect to the breakfast. So I'm just going to highlight a few of the points, and then it would be great to have a good in-depth discussion on some of the topics that we'll raise with the board, hopefully, in that meeting. So we are making great progress on all the CFG meetings. We've got another call this Monday to kind of finalize and firm up last-minute details. I think someone raised in the chat the cross-constituency breakfast, and that's going to be taking place on March 8th. I believe we've got a 7:30 a.m. start for that. Following that, we have a morning session with David Conrad as a guest speaker, and I think it's been decided at this point there are 3 major themes we may like to pursue with him, one being major tech changes with the IANA transition, the second being major SSR challenges, and the third being the recent IT security breaches within ICAM. Finally, with respect to the actual topics with the board, those are obviously being under discussion, so they're up for consideration. And Denise Michelle had raised the issue of registry services evaluation process and whether or not we can have an outside review of the implementation and consequences of RCEP. I think this is actually a great topic to pick. It's noted in the comments in Steve's the policy chat that the review has been quite long overdue, and so I don't know if Denise or others might like to talk on that, and then if others have really other specific topics, if we could bring those up and get a good dialogue going on that, I think that'd be a great use of the time. So, Denise, did you want to chime in on that?
Yeah, I actually had just a couple points. I'm happy to raise the RCEP issue. I don't see it as something we need to have an extensive discussion with, but rather to flag it for the board, emphasize the importance and the escalating challenge to the community and the system of keeping up with RCEP, ask for a quick data gathering and analysis of the program. And then separate from that, just jumping back to the meeting with David Conrad, the CTO, I'd like to add SSR data gathering, analysis, and publication to the list of items we discussed with him. He has broad purview over a number of things that I can that relate to BC priorities, and he's starting some new initiatives in this area, so I think BC members and CSG members actually would be really interested in hearing his plan.
Thank you, Denise. Happy to raise that. Did anyone else want to raise anything on this topic, or are there any thoughts on other topics for the board? I know we've also been firming up the agenda for the BC meetings as well, and some of the topics that have come up under there, GNSO review, election reform, et cetera. And so these were topics that also came up at the intersessional that we had. I don't know if any of these might be appropriate, but.
Cheryl, this is Chris. Let me just jump in real quick. I was just on the last CSG XCOM call, ISP folks did tell us that they want to bring up GNSO reform and Workstream 2 accountability issues, we're looking more at the future of Workstream 2 with the board. So those are at least the ISP's focus in their 30 minutes with the board. So for that, just for folks to know that those two items will be covered. We don't know yet what the IPC will be discussing. I think they're having their own call today to finalize that, and I may know more on Monday when we chat with them. But we will obviously, the goal here is to try to avoid duplication if we can. So I think it's important to flag the RCEP issue, but I think we'd ideally have at least one more topic for our roundtable 30 minutes that we can bring up. So I look, to the members to think about that very soon, so we can finalize this in the coming days. And also, real quick, with regard to David Conrad, he will be participating in the Open CSG meeting. We have him for maybe 15 to 20 minutes total, I think. But we are time crunched slightly. But Denise will certainly add that to the. I think we had mentioned SSR to him, but we'll be more specific as to exactly what we want him to discuss, and I think that shouldn't be a problem.
Great. Thank you, Chris. Was there anything anyone else wanted to raise under this?
Yeah, this is Denise. Cheryl, is there a drop-dead date by which you need suggestions of issues to raise at the, is it the CSG meeting or the breakfast we're talking about, or both?
These are topics for the breakout with the board. Obviously, as soon as possible would be great. Our next call is going to be on Monday, so if we could make that the deadline, that would be useful, just so that we can make sure that the areas that we want to focus on are definitely included.
Yeah, sure. This is Chris, Denise. I would agree. That said, we're happy to receive topics for the CSG session with Marcus and Bruce on the Sunday morning breakfast. We have some topics we've already collaborated with the other rest of the CSG on, namely the PDP working group on next-gen RDS, I know the IPC was interested in raising the PPSAI final report. I think we'll probably spend a little time discussing accountability and the transition, but also sort of just make possibly GNSO reform as a topic that the ISP folks want to talk about. But if there are other specific issues that we think the BC should raise as well, then I'm open to that too. But I think, again, timeline, we'd finalize this by early next week before everyone ships off to Marrakesh.
Okay, great. If no one has anything else right now, I think next up is Jimson and a discussion on finances.
Thank you, Sherry, and thank you, Steve and Chris, for those inputs. There are three items. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, great. So there are three things I want to talk about, the General Counsel update, the members click update, and also on the policy assistant budget request that have been approved, which we have started work on in consultation with the consultant. On the General Counsel, you can see the two clauses proposed earlier. The last time we talked about this, we said we will investigate since IPC has EIN to find out how they got it. So Chris and I, that is the chair, we talked with Laurie at the NCPC PH Intersessional, and we found out that they got their EIN prior to 9/11, before the Patriot Act. So it's much difficult right now to get it through. So she was very clear to us that we need to really get a professional to handle this. So that gets us back to clause number two, talking about the need for indemnity. So we were thinking maybe it could also come in as agent, but he has to be an officer. So based on the requirements, he has to be an officer. So this is where we are, and I really want us to proceed with this process. Whatever we need to do, there is even requirement of indemnity in when we do some banking transactions and so on and so forth. But I'm not a lawyer, so I'm counting on your wisdom to get this moving forward. So this is before us. If we have some comments on it, whether we can go ahead now or something else we could still have to do. Because we need to integrate it into the charter, into the new BC charter that is currently under works, so that we can also proceed. So any inputs or questions in this respect, please?
Gibson, this is Chris. Perhaps I can chime in real quick on this. Because what you're, I think Gibson's ultimate point is, I think we came to the conclusion that we do need a legal counsel to file our applicable legal forms and handle and provide the EIN. Knowing that, we're going to need an indemnification clause. The goal here, I think, would be to narrow the clause as much as possible. What you see before you are some edits I initially made, perhaps narrowing it to make it just the GC and perhaps making him an agent of the BC rather than an officer of the BC. I think for legal purposes, he needs to be an officer, so we'll have to go revisit some of these edits. But the goal is to tighten this clause as much as we can and get acceptance from counsel and then finalize this by the Marrakesh meeting, ideally. This will be on – I plan on having this on the agenda for our meeting, at least our open meeting in Marrakesh on Tuesday, the 8th. So welcome folks to take a look, think more about this. But I think it's something we will need in order for us to facilitate payment processing, et cetera, et cetera. And I think the risk of problems is low, and I think we'll proceed accordingly. But I just wanted to clarify for folks what they're looking at on the screen.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chris. So next on the Members Click. Members Click is an application to manage our websites and members' information and processes like invoicing. So we've been briefed earlier on this. So we're currently voting the process. ESCOM has approved that we migrate the website that we are currently hosting with another company to Members Click, so that we won't have to be duplicating efforts, and then we can have an integrated platform for our operations. Major benefit here that we'll have 24/7 professional support, and as mentioned, ICANN is underwriting the cost of this project. The last point I have is on the policy request. Steve was also on the call, and Chris was on the call. Maybe I will defer to them, but we had the call with Dan O'Neill, the consultant, to deliver this project to us. So it's proposed a 100-hour-per-week pilot for policy assistance, dedicated policy assistance for BC to help in policy research, documentation, publication, and assistance based on the directive of our Vice Chair Policy and Chris, the Chair. So we requested that he meet with us in Marrakesh so that all members can hear from him, and then he may answer some other questions we may have. So that is from me for now. If there are any questions, I will take it.
Thank you, Jimson. Okay, let's go ahead and turn. We've got just a few more minutes left in the hour. Turn to any other business. I got one item listed there, making folks aware of the meetings we've got, BC meetings we have scheduled in Marrakesh. And there's a couple other items that were mentioned in the chat we'll add as well. Just wanted folks to know we will have three BC meetings, the first occurring on Monday the 7th for an hour, sort of set the table for us that week. And then obviously the big open meeting on March 8th. We will be finalizing an agenda for that meeting shortly, and then we'll be able to send it out to folks next week for review and to have it on their calendar. And then finally we'll have a closed BC meeting on Wednesday the 9th for a couple of hours. And we can discuss some of these other issues during that meeting as well. So we'll hopefully finalize agendas here in the coming days for folks. We'll send around the time frames and everything as well. So people that are not there in person can participate, planning on participating remotely, can do so. And that actually raises a question, maybe for folks that are in the chat room or on the Adobe Connect right now that aren't going to be there in Marrakesh in person. It'd be nice to know, if you plan on intending at least to participate remotely, if you could maybe raise your hand so we get a sense of that dynamic at all. Anyone on here on the call intending to participate in the BC meetings in Marrakesh remotely? I see John.
Chris, this is Cheryl. I just wanted to add as well, I know that they're setting up at ICANN offices in D.C. and possibly L.A., I'm not sure, participation in the meeting, so you can go to ICANN's offices and also watch. I think ISOC DC is coordinating something on that.
That's good. Thanks, Cheryl. That's good to know. Maybe if we can, if we learn of that information, we'll send it out to folks that are, at least for those that are in the DC area and elsewhere, for that to do that. Okay, good. Well, I see a few Steve Coates, Kevin. Great. Thank you all for letting us know, just to give us a sense of who might be on. Okay, that's it for Marrakesh. If there are any other quick questions, I'm happy to take them. Otherwise, oh, Steve, you have your hand raised still? Do you have a question? Okay, thank you. All right, let's move quickly then. In the chat room, Denise mentioned, and this is actually a follow-up to Phil Corwin's email from, I guess it was last week, with regard to the VeriSign contract extension, and the question is whether we, you know, have the BC has something to say on that, and perhaps we should have further discussions. I see some. Whoops, Phil, do you have a question?
No, Chris. I thought, you know, if you wanted me to yeah. just lay out what the situation is, I'd be glad to.
Okay. I see Chantel. Jeff Noakes, do you have a question? I don't see your hand.
Yes. Thank you. So, somewhat new to ICANN or this business constituency, and still feeling my way around. In the email that who sent this out, Steve Del Bianco, he wrote that three members have applied to join the working group on next generation RDS. My first question is, how will I be notified of when this working group will convene? Do I need to do anything to register for that?
This is Steve, Jeff. You do. So I will email you, and the other members have done so. You just simply go to the wiki and join the working group and indicate that you are affiliated, you know, not officially representing, but affiliated with the BC. I'll send you that link, and you should be on now, and you have to take an active step to do that. Thank you.
Okay. Second thing, in that same email from Steve Del Bianco, in the Word document, there was a paragraph about the RDAP profile, and it said the development policy and specifications for authenticated access should begin as soon as possible. So my question is, when and in what forum will that happen, and what do I need to do to be a part of that?
Yeah, good question, and it hasn't begun yet. If we are successful at mapping that out in the path ahead for RDAP, then there would be a working group drafting a charter, resolutions in council to approve the charter, so it would show up in the policy calendar, and you'd have plenty of time to help us draft the charter and the resolution, and you'd have plenty of time to enroll at that point in that working group. Thank you for volunteering, Jeff.
Thank you. Consider me volunteered.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, Steve. So we got just a couple of minutes left, but maybe, Phil, if you could just quickly flag again the VeriSign contract issue for folks, and then we can maybe have a fulsome discussion either you know, offline via email, or certainly we want to talk about it, put it on the agenda in our meeting in Marrakesh. That'd be fine, too.
Sure. Yeah, Chris, real quick, there's nothing official on this yet. VeriSign held its quarterly analyst call on February 11th. In the course of the call, it announced that it had negotiated or was negotiating an agreement with ICANN that would establish a new 10-year root zone maintainer agreement in which ICANN would step into NTIA's shoes, replace it as the counterparty to the current root zone maintainer agreement, and it would be linked to a 10-year extension of the .com registry agreement, so that on the day of the transition, I guess the new root zone maintainer agreement would kick in, and the termination date of the .com registry agreement would change from its current date of November 31st, 2018, to a date 10 years after the date of the transition. There's no official announcement yet. The agreement would require approval of both the board of directors of VeriSign and the board of ICANN. It would then require sequential approval by NTIA. It will certainly be subject to public comment for the ICANN part. I imagine it probably will as well for the NTIA part. They probably put out a Federal Register notice. Within the ICA, the immediate question was, does this affect the price freeze on .com pricing that was imposed by NTIA in 2012 as a condition of renewal? And it does not. That is in a separate agreement, the cooperative agreement, which is between VeriSign and NTIA. That you know, rather unique cooperative agreement exists because of the historical past of .com, and that agreement between VeriSign and NTA would keep its current termination renewal date in 2018. So that's the situation. There's no official announcement by ICANN yet, and there will be a public comment period when the announcement. So far as the rationale for synchronizing the Root Zone Maintainer Agreement and the .com Registry Agreement, the explanation given by VeriSign CEO is in that article at the ICA website, internetcommerce.org, that Denise referenced. So that's the situation. We have plenty of time to look at the actual agreement once ICANN puts it out for comment.
Great. Thank you, Phil. And I certainly think it'll be worth looking at when that comes to fruition. Real quick, I know that last of the business, I know there's been discussion in the chat about having the new CEO who will be at Marrakesh for at least part of the meeting to perhaps meet with the BC. I think at a minimum what we can do is have him invited to the CSG Sunday breakfast with Bruce and Marcus and have him see if we can get him to stop by, assuming he's going to be there at that time, and work on that. And if we can't work, if you can't make it there, we'll see if we can provide other windows for him to at least meet with. If we can't meet with CSG, maybe try to get me with us. But we'll pursue that. I'll mention it to the other CSG folks, and we'll see what we can do on that. But I think it's a worthwhile effort. So I will do that. Any further thoughts, questions, concerns?
Yeah, this is Denise. Just really quickly to kind of expand on my short note. So I think, you know, making a good first impression with the incoming CEO is, you know, worth the effort. I think an invitation from the BC is a good thing, even if he says no. I would be concerned if the incoming CEO just met with SOAC leaders. Staff seems to encourage a meeting with an individual from an SO or an AC or a constituency as a proxy for meeting with the larger community, which is a really, I think, unfortunate precedent. And I think it would be better if the incoming CEO wasn't sort of introduced or to this paradigm, but rather had a broader interaction with the community. And although it wouldn't be bad if the CEO came to the CSG breakfast, I think part of our larger discussion as a constituency is to elevate the importance and effectiveness of the BC. So I think at a minimum, a BC invite to the new CEO to meet with this constituency, either in Marrakesh or perhaps through a phone call, would be a good thing to do. Thanks.
Yep, Denise, I take your point. I think it's absolutely correct, and we'll work on that. So, thank you. All right, any other further thoughts? Okay, it's 4 after the hour, so thank you all for your time, and we'll talk to you in Morocco. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Operator, you may now stop the recording.